Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. This is how Matthew begins the story of the incarnation. And Matthew's phrasing of it makes us believe, perhaps, that we're about to hear a detailed telling of Jesus' birth in the way that Luke might tell it. But Matthew, as we discover, is a different kind of writer than Luke. Luke wants to tell us the story through the experiences of Mary, a young woman without status who carries the Son of God within her, and the shepherds, those living in the fields, who will be the first to hear of the birth. Now Matthew wants to tell us about Joseph, a good and righteous man. A man who has appeared only a few times in the Bible and always as a quiet, non-speaking co-star of Mary. And in today's gospel, he gets temporary top billing as he prepares for the coming of something completely new, Emmanuel, God with us. So let's dive in and see a bit of the background. The evangelist who composed the Gospel of Matthew was probably a Jewish Christian, probably a scribe. The historical evidence suggests he wrote between 80 and 90 CE and addressed his work to a community in conflict, Jewish Christians who were being pushed out of larger Jewish communities. And Matthew took pains to place his own religious community squarely within Jewish heritage and to portray Jesus, whose Jewish identity is beyond doubt. He therefore begins his gospel by tracing Jesus' genealogy. And it's within this context, then, that the focus on Joseph appears in Matthew's story of Jesus' birth. Joseph embodies the best part of the Jewish tradition, a tradition that was all about keeping the law as a way to live with God. So, keeping that in mind, we read that during the time of his engagement to Mary, Joseph discovers that she is pregnant. The law mandated that Joseph divorce her. However, because Joseph is a righteous man, he also understands another part of his Jewish heritage. He understands that the law is to be tempered with mercy. And so instead of exposing Mary to a public divorce, he decides to dismiss her quietly in a way that would reduce the public inquiry into what had happened. But as we see, even law tempered with mercy isn't dramatic enough for Joseph to help usher in Emmanuel, who is God with us. Something astonishing is needed. So it is in the night, then, away from the daylight world of the law, that an alternative explanation of what is happening comes. An angel appears to Joseph and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." This is a striking moment in Joseph's life. All of what he knows, his life, his religion, his ethics, is being questioned by an angel in a dream. And that angel is inviting him to forsake all that knowledge and understanding to participate in a larger story. That angel is telling Joseph not to be afraid to do something outrageous, in order to bring to fruition something that the law and the prophets have yearned for, that pitches him past any mercy he could imagine. maybe we're all a little like Joseph. Do we limit ourselves by our tried and true ways of doing things? We each have our own way of dealing with personal, spiritual, and professional matters. Our own ways of moving through this demanding season of the year. Perhaps there is a voice we're already dimly aware of from a mysterious place. Perhaps it's a voice we're trying to avoid. A voice that is asking us to go beyond those tried and true ways in order to surrender more fully to God and to assist in the coming of Emmanuel, God with us in our own lives and in the life of the world. But what will going beyond those tried and true ways mean? What things that we wish we could dismiss quietly might be asked to make on our own? Do not be afraid, the angel is saying to you and to me about making these mysterious things our own. Do not be afraid. It seems throughout the Bible, God is always trying to tell us, do not be afraid, Abraham, when I ask you to leave your homeland and to travel to a new place that will be your own. Do not be afraid, Moses, for I will be with you when you a slave speak to Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians. Do not be afraid of any evil, David, for the Lord will be your shepherd no matter where you are. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to act. And this brings us back to Joseph. In Matthew's story of Jesus' birth, Joseph is asked to make a leap, to take an action that goes beyond how he would normally understand the law. And in listening to an angel and taking this leap of action, he is doing what some see as quintessentially Jewish. Joseph is silent, and Joseph steps up to the plate, not once, not twice, but three times. In this fourth Sunday of Lent, focusing on love, we see Joseph's radical obedience in God's love, moving beyond legalistic expectations to embrace the messy, sacrificial love of the Incarnation, revealing God's presence, not in power, but in vulnerability, calling us to trust, accept God's disruptive love, and become agents of love and hope in a fearful world. This story highlights Joseph's decision to love over law, choosing Mary and the child over shame, setting a precedent for a life lived for others. Just as Jesus' life is for the world. Rabbi Abraham Heschel once wrote, a Jew is asked to take a leap of action rather than a leap of thought. He is asked to surpass his deeds, to do more than he understands in order to understand more than he does. In these last few days of Advent, a season when we need to retrace the stories of new birth and the return of light, may you and I hear a word from that dark place, a word that banishes all fear and encourages us to take one tiny leap of action, to draw nearer to something we do not fully understand. Emmanuel is God with us. Do not be afraid. Amen.